Mr. Hyde, Shaw's Corner, Sunday, October the 29th.
Verse 2-0. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Several times in this chapter, and during the occasion when Balaam spoke to Balak, we notice the word behold. And so often in the scripture, when we observe this word, it is to draw our attention in a particular way to that which God desires us to listen to. Behold, there are many cases throughout the scripture when important points are preceded by this command, behold. This indeed was to an ungodly man, one that desired the curse to fall upon Israel. How much more are the people of God called upon to behold God's faithfulness and his unchangeability in those things which he has declared from the beginning. We shall not spend time, however, upon the general context. Most of you, I'm sure, will be familiar with it. Except to say this, that here we have a remarkable example of God's preserving care and over and defense of his people. We have just this single account in the scriptures of a man letting his heart be known in his evil desire to curse Israel. But God knows through the generations how many people have risen up and have had the desire in their hearts to curse the people of God. There are those that we read about from time to time who speak about uttering curses. I read a case recently, and the people trembled because of a curse that the gypsy said that he would place upon the people unless they conformed to his desire. So people tremble even at the mention of a curse. How sad it is that they are so blind and hard-hearted as to be unaware that they are born under the curse by nature. We are under the curse. All men are under the curse. And it required the Lord Jesus Christ himself to be made a curse for us in order that we might be delivered from being under the curse. To come to the words before us, behold, I have received commandment to bless. It may be said that under some circumstances, if not under all circumstances, the Lord has given a commandment unto his own servants to bless the people. Hence, we have mention of the Aaronic blessing in the 6th chapter. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord hath given commandment to bless. And as he's given commandment, so Balaam had to confess, I have received commandment to bless. And when a man receives commandment to bless, what Balaam proved, everyone else will prove, that they have no alternative but to bless. Well, we would look a little more into this. From whence is derived the basic or source of this commandment to bless? It emanates from the eternal mind of God. Jacob, Israel, were to be blessed. They were to be blessed nationally and preserved and taken care of in the good providence of God. And we may observe that Israel today is still blessed in this way, even though to a large extent they are agnostic in their belief. Yet God has not cast away Israel as a nation, but still blesses them in a remarkable way with many temple blessings. But we must look a little closer to the spiritual Israel, spiritual Jacob. These are the people drawn not only from the Jewish nation, but from all nations who comprise the Israel of God, even those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and who are blessed with the Spirit of God at the time when God sees fit to make them known as his own people. That can never be altered. We may have many fears. We may get very low. We may have many questions arising in our hearts. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I have received commandment to bless. So men are controlled. They cannot militate against the eternal purpose of God. And though they may see within, yet even wicked men are restrained. God says to them, thus far shalt thou come. God says to them, you will say this, when they would say that. It is possible that we ourselves might have been in situations when we've had that inward persuasion that when men would curse us, they've had to bless us. And in that respect, we may say, they have received commandment to bless. And this would overrule all their desires to curse. But as we notice, this commandment to bless stems to God's eternal love and favor unto his people. How good a doctrine it is to rest upon. Salvation is come today to this house, insomuch as he also is a child of Abraham, a son of Abraham. God gave commandment to bless that man that the Lord Jesus received, and none could reverse it. When God gives men and causes them to receive in their hearts commandment to bless, and none can reverse it. God's commandments are ever eternal. They may appear to us to be sometimes spontaneous and localized, but if we examine them a little more closely, we shall see that they are eternal. God speaks to his servant. Sometimes they receive a word for all ages. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And it may be that God's servants are commanded to speak a word, and they do not always know why, but they receive commandment. Men do not speak as they will. May it be sometimes they do, but if God has a purpose, then men are not their own, and they speak according to what God will have them speak. And they are sometimes persuaded that they have received commandment to bless the people. And how can they bless the people, since they know not what would be a blessing to the people? Well, if God causes a person to receive commandment to bless, then God will so order things that they will speak those words that are given to them and are received into their hearts. And thus, if it pleases the Lord to bless today even the children amongst us, then that word will be given to the speaker to speak, that they might be blessed. Now, you see, none of us are precluded from seeking unto God. We do not have to come to a certain age before we can pray to God. And if the Lord has put it into the hearts of the children with us to pray to God that he might bless them, then it may well be that God's servant will receive commandment to bless and cause a word to be spoken which may be useful to them and help them in their pathway. It has been impressed upon my mind very much lately that the children that are with us, and all children, have their problems, have their trials, have their persecutions, have their perplexities, have their fears, as much as we that are older do. And in the same sphere of things, you know, their fears are as great as ours, and their troubles are as great as ours. Perhaps some of us can go back to the days when we were children and remember how large some of our troubles were. But maybe those that were older never thought so. They just missed them as trifles of a day, things not to be worried about, but they were troubles to us. Behold, I have received commandment to bless. Now, where God gives such a commandment, then that commandment must be effectual. It is effectual in the hearts of every one of the children of God. Blessing, blessing, blessing is that which only comes from God. We may seek to bless people. Our blessing might be upon us, even as Abraham desired a blessing upon Isaac, and Isaac desired a blessing upon his sons Jacob and Esau. And those men in those days seemed to be prophetical in the things that they said, because as they blessed, so God gave them commandment to bless, and they received words accordingly that would indeed be a blessing to those people and would speak of their future. But the blessings of God are the blessings of the soul. There are blessings in providence. We would not despise them. The blessings of the soul were given to Jacob. Esau was given the blessings of providence, and with it he was quite satisfied. Now, God has doubtless given to us the blessings of providence. Now, are we satisfied with the blessings of providence? It is something to be thankful for if we are, and not discontented with our lot. But nonetheless, we should well consider as to whether God has done that in our heart, where, whilst we would be thankful for the blessings of providence, we seek more earnestly to enjoy the blessings of grace. So then, the commandment to bless. What kind of blessings are contained in this commandment? The blessings which are in the mind of God toward his people. And they are wonderful blessings. Some of them are noted in the succeeding verses. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Now, if God gives a commandment to bless your soul with this knowledge, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. If you are conscious of iniquity being in your own heart, if you have to say, "Remember not against me the sins of my youth," if you have to say, "Mine iniquity is great," then it will be astonishing for you to hear these words from God, "I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob." Iniquity, we look at sometimes as sin of deepest dye, sin which is evil throughout in thought and word and deed, iniquity. So God looks on from heaven and sees all things, and yet he says, "I have not seen iniquity in Jacob." Though it is there, though the evil working and deceitfulness of the heart is there, and God knows it's there, yet here is the blessing bestowed upon the church of God when he says, I have not seen it. Now, when God says this, it is not a question of turning the blind eye as we turn the blind eye. And yet, in a sense, it is turning the blind eye, because the Lord has sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, to blot out as a thick cloud the sins and iniquity of his people. And through the death of Jesus Christ, and by his blood shedding, God looks upon his church in the fullness of blessing, and he can truly say, I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Now the words here are very conclusive, because they speak as though he had never beheld iniquity in Jacob at any time. Now is this possible? We are the children of God, are covered by covenant engagements, and the Father constantly looks upon the covenant engagements of his beloved Son. In the Council of Eternity, when God said, who shall I send, and who will go for us? There was one that said, send me. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come and fulfill all the covenant engagements which would deliver the church from iniquity and save them from their sin. And the Father constantly looks upon the work of the Son. God, because he cannot fail, can regard a work unaccomplished as though it was accomplished. And the faith of the saints of God before Christ came upon the earth was such that they could look upon the covenant that God had made, and even though it had not been entered into, even though Jesus Christ had not come to put away sin, yet they were fully assured and absolutely persuaded that the matter was done, that it was accomplished. We say, my soul looks back to see the burdens thou didst bear while hanging on the accursed tree, and hopes her guilt was there. These people in the Old Testament, blessed with precious faith when they looked upon the bloodshedding and the constant offerings, you know, it spoke to them about God's promises, and spoke to them so powerfully that they were fully persuaded that God's promises would surely come to pass. You see, we read Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. He looked forward, though the promise had not been fulfilled, though Christ had not come, yet he was fully assured of it. Fully assured that the day would come when Christ would be born, when Christ would live, when he would die, and when effectually the iniquity of Jacob will be blotted out. But nonetheless, in the sight of God, as the covenant of God was continually before his eyes, as the proposed engagement of his Son were continually before his eyes, he could look upon Jacob, and behold, no iniquity. I have received commandment to bless. Bless with the blessing of this knowledge conveyed to the church of God, that he hath beheld, not beheld, iniquity in Jacob. We therefore see the perfection of the people of God. Not perfect in themselves, because they are constantly aware of their own iniquity and sinful propensities. But how great is God? Our God, if by reason of the riches of his grace, he says he cannot see what you can see. He's determined not to see it. He's made provision so that it is blotted out of his sight. I have received commandment to bless. With this knowledge of God's view of the souls of every one of his people as he sees them in Christ Jesus. And then we also observe, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. We have but to read the account of Israel to come to a quick conclusion that one of the eminent features of Israel was perverseness. This indeed may well have been in the hearts solemnly pronounced of those that feared not God. But if we should notice in our own lives that we have two natures, one is perverse, awkward, unwilling, stubborn. The Lord hath commanded, I have received commandment to bless. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Here again, but we see the Lord looking down upon his church in the glory and fullness of their perfection in Christ. And this will be a blessing indeed when God conveys to you that in Christ Jesus ye are perfect. In Christ Jesus ye are accepted. In Christ Jesus God beholds his church. And he sees that there is upon them no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. The good hymn writer takes up one or two points, which only serves to emphasize the perversity of our own natures. My stubborn will opposes still thy wise and holy hand. Thy Spirit send to make it bend to thy supreme command. Affections wild, thy sin defiled, oft hurry me away. Lord, bring them home, nor let them roam from Christ, the living way. A conscience hard does oft retard my walk in holy peace. Let it by thee made tender be, and all its hardness cease. And then the Lord has given this to his own servants. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and this blessing must be set before you, that the Lord God is with him, and the king of the shout of a king is among them. The Lord God is with him. Now, in granting such an assuring word, You may well have to ponder your own pathway and to observe again and again that the Lord God is with you. I feel persuaded of this, that if God is with us, we shall in some measure be aware of it. When the Lord spoke to Jacob and told him that he would be with him in all places, whither he went, and God directed his steps, we find, upon close examination of Jacob's life, there were times when he was clearly aware that God was with him, that his promise was being fulfilled. And will it not be so in our case that if we are commanded to bless the people with this knowledge of God's continual presence, that there will be certainly times and places where you will be able to say, and God was with me. God was with me sometimes as my defense. This tried almighty arm is raised for their defense. God was with me as my helper. How often has that been the case with you and with me? Well, you will have to bear your personal testimony. The Lord's my helper and support. And so he has helped us through many a day of trial and through many a day of trouble. Now, are we under the power of temptation? Do we come into a place this morning where there are those that we feel would curse us, and Satan would continually desire to do this, and he would suggest that the Lord is not with you at all, that the Lord does see your iniquity, that the Lord does see your perverseness? Well, here, in spite of all that, we have these words: I have received commandment to bless. I have received commandment to tell you the truth. I have received commandment to declare the blessing of God upon you, that he does not behold iniquity, that he does not see perverseness, because of what his Son has done, and furthermore, that God is with you. Can he have brought me to trust in his name, and thus far, can he have taught me to trust in his name, and thus far have brought me to put me to shame? God's blessings are permanent. They do not alter. God does not withdraw his blessing. However difficult, awkward, stubborn, perverse our natures may be at times, God does not withdraw his blessing. He does not say, I would have nothing more to do with you. It may be that the blessings of God felt in the soul may appear to have been withdrawn from you, but God's heart hasn't changed. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Now there is a difference between salvation and the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation, because of the psalmist's sinning, was withdrawn. But salvation wasn't withdrawn. The covenant wasn't altered. Jesus was the same. The Father's love was the same. But it was necessary, because of what David had done and brought the enemies of God to blaspheme, that he should have to walk at least for a season in darkness. Even this didn't prevent his calling upon God. Are you walking in darkness this morning? Have you sought to find a reason why it is so? Is it because of your sin? It does not mean that you will not join with the psalmist even when you are not enjoying the blessings of salvation. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. His transgression had come before his eyes, and he wanted this blessing to be conferred upon him again. The joy of salvation, the benefit proceeding from salvation, which would fill his soul with joy. In other words, to have the blessing reiterated, the blessing of God's truth, the blessing of God's faithfulness, the blessing of God's unchangeability. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him at all times. He sees you when you see not him, and always hears your cry. As I've already mentioned, I think in prayer this morning, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And that's every day. And that's everywhere. We don't always realize the blessings of preservation. Perhaps we pass through day after day, and to our shame, may not give an account, give a thought to this, that the angel of the Lord encamps round about us. But it doesn't alter the fact that it is true. It doesn't alter the fact that this blessing of God is rendered to every one of the church of God. And the angel of God encampeth round about them that fear him, whether they are aware of it or not, whether they are thinking of it or not. This is God's blessing upon the people of God. We little realize how much blessing is conferred upon us if we are the people of God. The blessings of God are not to be judged by our feeling sense of them and realization of them. They're still being performed by Almighty God. And in the same way, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, at all times and in every place. Whether it refer to providential leading, geographical surroundings, or whether it is a spiritual downsittings and uprisings, we do not necessarily have to move an inch physically to be moved to all sorts of places in our soul's experience. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, the permanent blessings of God, which all proceed from the gracious terms of the covenant of grace made by the Father with the Son and ratified in the presence of the Eternal Spirit. And then again, we have these words, they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Have we known the Lord God sufficiently to want to know more of him? Even in our natural acquaintances, sometimes we come to a conclusion that when we meet certain people, we would like to know more of them. We have had a little opportunity of hearing perhaps some gracious conversation and have been aware of the Lord leading them about and instructing them. And so we have said, I'd like to know more of them. Sometimes it has not always turned out to be a wise desire, because the Lord will never let us make idols of anybody. But we can safely say this with regard to the eternal God, that we should know a little that will make us want to know more of him and more of his ways and more of his love and more of his teaching and more of his guidance. Now the Lord has blessed us, and I, if I may put myself in the place here, I have received commandment to bless. To bless in this way, to tell you of God's unchangeability in all these things that are ours by covenant grace. They shall all know me. Now sometimes under the temptation of the devil, it may be suggested, but you'll never know him. You are under the curse. Look at your sins. Look at your iniquities. You'll never know him. But God has said, and I received commandment to bless. God has said, they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Now, God knows how you may feel this morning. People may sometimes feel least, and because they're least, they tend to think that they're despised. But God does not despise the least. Men may despise the least, but God does not despise the least. There are some very remarkable words in the prophecy of Isaiah which speaks like this: doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledgeth not. Now those are very telling words. Even if Abraham, can we look at it perhaps like this? Abraham and Israel representing the church of God, even if they're ignorant of us, even if they do not acknowledge us, thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. And they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. They shall all be taught of God. What a blessing this is. Behold, I have received commandment to bless. I'm blessed with this blessing of assuring the church of God and every individual member that constitutes that church. I do not mean a church on the earth, physical, though that will have its place, but those that belong to the church of the living God, whose names are written in heaven. They shall all be taught of God. Are you taught of God? You may say, well, how can I know that I'm taught of God? You'll know that you're taught of God because the teaching of God is different from the teaching of men. We cannot learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their tasks. Such knowledge is not proof against illusion's blast. The Word of God declares this, and what a blessing this is. There's none that teacheth like him. And again, he teacheth us to profit. Now, have you ever sat under a teacher? I might come down just to the general run of things in life. Have you ever sat under a teacher in your school or college life where you have said, well, there's none to teach like him. I can get on under that teacher. He seems to know my weaknesses and he seems to put his finger on the point and helps me. He gives me the right advice. But now this does happen sometimes. But that would be a poor comparison to when we compare it with the Lord himself. Now, do we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our teacher, who, about whom we have to say there's none that teacheth like him? I'm perplexed. I'm in difficulty. I read the Word of God and I can't understand it. I go to men, try to ask them to understand it. Perhaps I might say, I look to see what this man says or that man says, and I'm no further. And then God comes. You see, the difference between God's teaching and man's is this, and that God, when he teaches us the truth, he is also able to open our eyes and open our understanding. Now, we can endeavor to teach a person, but we can't open their understanding. We can't open their minds. We can't open their hearts to receive the truth. But this is the blessing which we may speak to you about. The blessing where God teaches. And as he teaches, he suddenly opens your understanding. A spiritual understanding, that is, so that you're able to see the glory of the truth. You're able to perceive the beauty of the truth. The beauty is set in the face of Jesus Christ. Behold, I have received commandment to bless and in blessing to speak of these things which are sure to all the church of God. It must be experienced by all the church of God. Just another point regarding our teacher. None teacheth like him. Will bring us to two points. We shall hold such in high esteem. And if we hold such in high esteem, we shall have a deep love to our teacher. In a limited sense, this can be an experience amongst those that teach in the present day. Children may become very attached to their teacher. Are we attached to Jesus Christ? Because he teaches us so well and so patiently, and when we can't understand, then our understanding is enlightened, our understanding is opened, and we're able to perceive the truth. Sometimes the Lord may speak to us by parables, and then we may say, what does this mean? And then God unfolds the parable himself and says, this is what it means. Sometimes you may have felt some benefit. Let us take as an example the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow. And then we get the various places upon which the seed fell, and the result of its falling in those places. And there the matter was left. But afterwards his disciples came unto him, and they asked him what it meant. Are we amongst those that leave the parables? Or are we amongst those that inquire of God what they mean? Now how wonderful is the opening up of an interpretation of the Lord Jesus in respect to the parable of the sower. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his seed with him. But behold, I have received commandment to bless. Though we cannot bless, we can set before you the truth in various aspects of it, that you might consider the blessings that you enjoy. The blessings of the truth, the blessings of the knowledge of God, of Jesus Christ, the blessings of the teachings of the Spirit of God, the blessings of knowing God. How privileged we are. How humbled we are by knowing this, that we know God. Do we know God? This is not a great word, you know. This is not an impossible question. Do we know God? In all his divine compassion, have you believed that God has come down to where you are? One has said that Christ is God. I can avouch. For I have, and for his people cares, for I have prayed to him as such, and he has heard my prayers. I have received commandment to bless, and the truth set before you, through the preaching of the gospel, may be searched out in your heart to see whether you've received it. And if you've received it, then you've been blessed by it. And if you've been blessed by it, surely you will have to bear your testimony in connection with it. We leave it for this morning.
Hymn 913. Hymn 913, tune Edmeston 640. "'Tis the gospel's joyful tidings, full salvation sweetly sounds. Grace to heal thy foul backsliding, sinner, flows from Jesus' wounds. Are thy sins beyond recounting, like the sand the ocean laves? Jesus is of life the fountain, he unto the utmost saves." Hymn 913.
As you know, friends, the collection was taken on Friday was for the pastor. I would just like to take this opportunity of giving thanks unto God on your behalf for the generosity that you were able to expend. May the Lord bless you in things spiritual for the blessings of things temporal granted to me. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father's love and the fellowship of the Eternal Spirit be with us all.